is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
All right, this great music you're hearing right now is from this week's featured artist, Outlaws and Moonshine. And this is another great act on the roster over at High Volume Music. Our friends here at the Decibel Geek Podcast, we love them because they turn us on to great music. This track you're hearing is from their 1919 album, and it's called Cootie Brown. You like that?
Yeah.
It's awesome. You can get more info on Outlaws and Moonshine in today's show notes or head on over to highvolmusic.com and check out the rest of their roster because they are loaded. And we are the Decibel Geek Podcast. In case you didn't know, we're back once again. What is it? It's rock and roll radio that's free on the internet. Tell your friends about it. Not enough people out there understand what podcasts are. And I know there's a lot of rock and rollers out in the world that are missing out on something really good. I feel like that.
That's right. I always get cracked up when some people discover the show or I put a link up and friends of mine that haven't listened yet will say, so when is your show on?
Right.
I hear that all the time and I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way.
No, I saw somebody wrote once, it's a podcast, not a broadcast. You can listen to it whenever you want.
That's
right. It's on demand.
On demand.
So just get out there and explain to people what podcasts even are, because there's a whole segment of the world that's missing out on some cool stuff like us.
Yeah.
And Alice Cooper.
Oh, man, that was fun.
Oh, man, that was great. I listened back to that, and I was like, man, you know, for as sick as we both were, it was great to snap out of it for an hour.
Yeah, we were both in rough shape that week.
Yeah, but I know I enjoyed it. I know a lot of people, we got a great response to it.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Alice Cooper. He is the man.
We will have to do the top five Alice Cooper songs of the 80s soon.
Ooh. That'll be a little bit tougher,
I think. I'm a big fan of that era.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Sounds good to me. Yeah, we'll definitely put that in the get that in the works.
Yes, definitely. So cool. Want to talk about Geeks of the Week this week. These are the people that shared on Facebook and retweeted on Twitter. Last week's top five 70 song Alice Cooper songs episode. Geeks of the Week this week are Mike Blunt, Colleen Boatman Kachinago. See, I pulled
nice.
That one off.
Good.
Robert Foster, Brian Knapp, Todd Cunningham, Rich Canamar, Dennis Gamez, Lars Oyvind Helden, Kenneth Roy, Ian Wadley from Rock and Metal Combat Podcast, Aaron Baker, Matt Ashcraft, Trisha Lanford, Kevin Williams, Mike Stewart, Mark Alden Taylor, Otto Erlin Gregerson, Derek Novak, Andrew Jacobs, Adam Cox, Paul Stom, Cobras and Fire Podcast, Joey Vanchieri, Billy Hardaway, Warren Money, The Mooger Fooger, Paul Watson, Darren Helliwell, Ernesto Aguiar, Billy Hardcore, and Hoops.
These are our people. They love us, and we love them right back. That's why they are the honorable Geeks of the Week. You want to become one of the true and the proud and the mighty? All you got to do, like Chris said, get on Facebook, get on Twitter, share it, retweet it, tell somebody about it, explain to somebody what the hell a podcast is.
Yes.
Very cool, man.
Tell them to get into the 21st century.
This is going to be so much fun today.
Yeah, one of our favorite guests.
Absolutely.
Of the show.
Oh, man.
Most downloaded guest of the show.
I wish that we had the ability just to bring Gary Corbett to everybody's house and just introduce him and let him hang out with Gary for a little while. You know, in a way, we're kind of doing that here today because it was a pretty laid-back atmosphere hanging out with Gary Corbett, as it always is. And this guy, man, he's got such fantastic taste in music. You know, we've been experimenting with the six songs so-and-so thinks you should hear. And I think today we perfected it.
Yes, I think everyone will enjoy Gary's picks.
Absolutely, man. And you're going to enjoy some time with Gary Corbett, and he's funny and awesome as always. Love this guy.
Yeah, so I guess let's get to it.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so you're back, and we're happy to have you back.
Heck yeah.
Our most downloaded guest of all time.
Woo!
And
happy to be back.
And you're on the mend. You're not wearing that weird thing around your shoulder anymore.
Nope, done with that. Two surgeries later, and I'm ready to pitch in the World Series.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good deal. So what we brought you on today for, which, of course, is another excuse just to have you here,
is, always a pleasure.
You're the second guest to do six songs so-and-so thinks you should hear.
Yeah.
Well.
And today you're so-and-so.
I'm so-and-so. I've been called worse. And yeah, it was fun. When you told me what the premise of the show was, it was definitely a fun way to come back.
Yeah. Well, because we're all music fans when it boils down to it, and we kind of nerded out when we did the keyboardist discussion.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. So much fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
We get to do a little bit more today. So you sent me your picks, and we were listening to them earlier, and
they're all awesome.
They're all really, really good. So
Thank you.
let's get into it. What's your first song that you think people think you should hear?
Well, I kind of feel like we should be going in chronological order.
That's fine.
So I guess do we want to start with Deep Purple? Let's start with Deep Purple. How about I'm a Leo? How about that one?
Maybe I'm a Leo. And why did you pick this song?
Well, because you said you want the tracks that were not the ones that most people would probably be familiar with. And
yeah, we don't need to play Smoke on the Water.
No.
Right.
No.
Have you ever heard this song?
But that was just a song that, like, from my high school days of being in band, and, you know, the band I was in played the song, and just, you know, it immediately, like music does, it takes you back to a place or a time in your life or whatever, and that's what it's supposed to do.
Right.
Thank you. basically all these songs, I have real good memories of you know, my youth.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why, and the Deep Purple Machine Head record was definitely one of the big parts of my 15 years old, I guess I was, when it came out. And so, yeah, that was definitely on the turntable a lot.
Yeah. The one where you just keep flipping it over and playing.
Yeah,
it's an amazing album, through and through.
Yeah, and it still holds up, and I could still listen to it from top to bottom.
Yeah.
So, and I just figured that was a good one that people wouldn't know, and there you go.
Great song.
Heck yeah, man, I love it. Yeah.
So are we going to do the other one next, or are we going to do a different one?
Well, we could either go left to Humble Pie.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's do that, okay.
Coffee in my favorite cup. I know, yeah, I know. Hallelujah, I just love her so. When I'm in trouble and I need a friend, uncles just stick with me right to my end. Sit right down, Daddy, let your mind roll on, yeah.
Walk right up. Sit right down. Girl, in that summer.
As I was telling Aaron a few minutes ago, the song it was kind of hard. That was the one song that I actually had to go to iTunes after our conversation on Friday to, kind of help pick which song it was going to be. I knew I wanted to pick something from that record because, again, that was probably even earlier. Let me think for a second. Yeah, that's probably earlier. I got exposed to that record probably like the last year when I was in junior high school, like eighth grade, if I'm not mistaken.
This was Rockin' the Fillmore.
Yeah, yeah.
Legendary live album.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And, you know, as a kid, I used to sit there with the headphones on and the lights turned off and imagine I was there. And, you know, and of course I had my own idea of what was going on there, but, you know, it just really brings back a good memories of great music, too. Great singing, great playing. And it was Peter Frampton's first band before...
That's true.
Before Frampton's Camel.
Yeah, and him with Marriott singing. And
gosh.
What a combination.
And that's a guy... And that's a singer that kills me to this day. And that's part of the reason why it was hard for me to pick which song to pick, because the guy never talked to the audience. He sang everything that he said to the audience.
Yes.
And going through the beginnings of each song on iTunes the other day, you know, I'm hearing all of this great stuff, but I wasn't hearing enough of the song to know if it was the song I wanted to pick. I can't, you know, so I went with Hallelujah, which was an old Ray Charles song.
Right.
And it was, I think, one of the longer songs on the record, but that was definitely one of the ones that I used to jam out to in my room. That, and I don't even know. But I figured I don't need no doctor.
Yeah, but that's a common one to people know.
I figured that was the reason I didn't pick that one.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
Mm. And
great
that album pick. Is one that everyone should own.
Yeah.
It's one of the best live albums ever made.
Yeah, yeah.
And Steve Marriott's name should come up more often. Like, younger people need to know who he was.
Yeah, how he's not looked at as like Paul Rogers or any of those other big... you know, legendary singers. He was just so amazing. And you listen to him now, there's nobody that sings like that.
No.
No. But so many people have taken that influence from him.
Yeah.
You know, and carried it on in different ways. I mean, you look no further than Paul Stanley, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very influential.
Yeah, you know, because he would do the whole singing while you're talking to the audience. How do you feel right?
Yeah.
You know, all that good stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
there was a lot of
I got it to you. That's where he got it from.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, for he was a huge fan of Steve Marriott, which, anyone should be. I picked that one up. All right, so what are we going to next?
Well, then we got to go over to Stormbringer. Because that's the whole album is so overlooked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember at the time that I was in high school, that record came out and it was Deep Purple with a new singer. You know, it was David Coverdale, but it wasn't Ian Gillan, and Machine Head was so amazing. And, you know, to follow that up with a new singer and a new bass player who also was an amazing singer.
Glenn Hughes.
Yeah. And the two records that they did, Burn and Stormbringer, were phenomenal records.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. I mean, really, in a lot of ways, just as good as Machine Head, but it wasn't... Machine Head's just one of those magical records that needs to go in the time capsule for the, you know, people 2,000 years.
Sure.
But Stormbringer is such an overlooked record entirely. I mean, I had it on vinyl as a kid, but of course I don't have it anymore. And back in the, I think it was sometime in the 90s where I got the itch to find it again. Mm-hmm. And I had to really search it out. I think I had to get it as an import from Japan. I think I ended up finding it because there wasn't even like on a catalog here.
Really?
At the time. Yeah.
Wow.
So that definitely deserves to be on this list.
So how did you become aware of it then? How did you find out about it?
Well, I was aware. Sorry.
Okay.
When it came out in originally, you know, back in like I think it was like 74, it was a regular release, but it wasn't a popular record and it kind of disappeared. And then, you know, when everything was reissued on CD, it kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, nobody bothered to reissue it. And so I guess that's where it kind of went away. You know, I don't know if it had anything to do with, you know, who owned the record, you know, for that, you know, to license it to make the CD, or if, yeah, if it was just a popularity thing.
It was just a lack of demand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that because, you know, you think of Deep Purple and what does everybody think? Like you said, Smoke, mm-hmm, on the Water. That's, yeah, the song.
Yeah.
You know, and this year they're finally getting into the Hall of Fame, which, yeah, you know, should have been 25 years ago, but...
Yeah. Yes. I'm one of the greatest keyboard players in rock and roll.
John Lord.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not even going to be here to see it.
Yeah.
You know?
That sucks.
For what it is, but yeah, still, you, yeah, know?
He's very big influence on me, for sure. Probably the biggest when it comes to playing the organ.
Yeah.
You know, sure.
Did you hear the Whitesnake Purple album that came out last year? They, mm-hmm, did all Deep Purple covers with Coverdale singing the stuff. They did Stormbringer on it.
It was pretty cool.
It's actually, yeah, a really good cover. Yeah. Yeah, it's with modern production, so it, you know, they beefed up the sound a whole lot.
How is he singing these days?
On the record, he sounds good. Live, he struggles quite a bit now. But, I mean, when you sing like that for that many years.
Sure.
Yeah. He was such an amazing singer. God.
But, yeah, he was pretty much bulletproof through the 70s and the
80s. Yeah. Yeah, even in the Whitesnake album,
yeah,
even those days was phenomenal.
Oh yeah, that Whitesnake album in 87.
That's another one that goes in the time capsule for me.
Oh yeah, that whole album is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though three of the songs were played so much that most people can't stand them.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, when you go back and you really listen to it and you take that away.
Yeah.
You it's still an amazing sound.
Yeah.
The production, yeah, and everything.
And I'm a big fan of John Sykes, so
yeah,
the work,
yeah,
that he did on that album, the songwriting is just amazing.
Yes.
All right, so David Coverdale with Deep Purple. What,
yeah,
what do you got coming up next?
It's very awesome.
Oh, well, what song did I pick? Oh, that I picked You Fool No One, right?
Right.
This song, man, wow. This blew me away. This is the first time I think I've ever heard it, was listening to it earlier.
Where'd you listen to it? Because I haven't heard it. I didn't even get to, like, it just pulled it out of my
head. We heard
it
on YouTube earlier.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to go back and listen to it, because I didn't even do that. I remember the song.
It's almost funky.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
especially
totally,
the drumming.
The drumming's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really a band just going all at it, you know. But yeah, and the riffing on it, like, we were just talking about, like, Ritchie Blackmore, as insufferable as he seems as a person, could really write an amazing hooky,
yeah,
riff,
yeah,
you know, and just kick ass on it.
And the solo, the guitar
solo. And
don't
they trade, like, doesn't Glenn Hughes sing, like, the bridges and stuff? Like
I think so. Yeah, because you can tell it's two different guys singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I was thinking.
And when his voice kicks in, it's, like, so much soul.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to Coverdale, and it's so much soul, but it's different. And it's just, I just love that record. And the two of those guys together was just phenomenal.
old California Jam footage from 74 of them playing live?
No.
It's on YouTube. It's an amazing... It's them playing during the day to like 50,000 people. And
oh, wait, is that the with the rainbow?
With the rainbow.
Yeah, yes, yeah. I've seen that. Yes.
That's a killer concert, especially when they play Burn and they do the trade off with the vocals.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was that lineup.
Yeah, same lineup.
Mm-hmm. I remember ELP was on that. Earth, Wind & Fire was on that.
Yep. Black Sabbath played that show too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Back when you could go to a concert and hear different genres on, instead of the
all
same,
on the same
type
bill.
Stuff.
And that was actually shown on ABC's In Concert. Back when I was
Dick
in high
Clark's
school.
Dick Clark's show.
Yeah, and it was the first time I did acid, was the night that was on. I also remember that well.
Rainbow was talking to me.
Oh, yeah, it was really, it wasn't a good experience.
Well, that makes sense, because I've always wondered that that rainbow that goes behind the bands is the same one that's behind Kiss on their In Concert appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the same prop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did it inside a studio.
Oh.
But California Jam was outdoors.
Yeah.
But it's the same rainbow prop. I'm sure Dick Clark's company owned it, probably.
And who else was it? Black Oak, Arkansas, was it?
I think so.
Jim Dandy.
Yeah.
To the rescue.
David Lee Roth owes him a thank you.
Yeah.
Got his whole act from him.
Or the other guy, too. Jesse Dupree.
Jesse from Jackal.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, man.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. I love that song.
All right, so Deep Purple, what do you got next?
Where did we go from there? Okay, so then we went to...
Mountain.
Oh, well, now. I think this was also on the keyboard show, if I'm not mistaken. We talked about Mountain a bit because of the organ.
Yeah.
It might have even been this song, but it's just such a great one. Never in My Life.
Yeah.
Ah!
me is a song that I don't consider like to be that unfamiliar, because in my house it was one of the regulars, but mm-hmm. in thinking about how Mountain is looked at, that I think that would be considered a song.
Oh, sure. Well, right? Mississippi Queen is what they're mostly known for. Yeah,
kind of one-hit wonders, but mm-hmm. I mean, you listen to a song like this, and it's so good. I mean, you could tell it's that same band that does that song, but man, this is some good stuff. You know, I think you're right in picking it, because this band's highly overlooked. But again, all the bands that they influenced, you know, so many.
Yeah, Leslie Gessner. And listen, his singing was amazing too. You know, at that time, he another soulful guy, and he was a great guitar player too. And they the way they used the organ was probably one of the heaviest organ sounds ever.
Yeah, them and Deep Purple both, they could make the organ sound as heavy as a guitar.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and just fill out that sound to make it take it that one step further. Of a sensory attack,
it's
almost.
Like a dark sound.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
And especially John Lord, he could really do that. Yeah. He could basically hammer you over the head with his organ.
Yeah. And
there's a keeper. I'm going to isolate that and use it.
But if you listen deep into the track with Felix Popolari, the organ sound is like you hear it kind of distorting and spitting and breaking up. Yeah. So awesome.
Bubbling over.
Yeah, it's really cool. Totally. And he played such cool rhythms against what was going on that it's like another rhythm guitar part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is very John Lord-ish too. He also, you know, so Felix Popolari was definitely also a big influence in my, you know, developmental years.
Right. I hear you. So you would play along to a lot of these albums when you were growing up.
Always.
Yeah. Alright, so we move up into we can do Cinderella next.
Oh, well, if we're sticking with chronological, we have to go to Cinderella next.
Okay. And which song did you pick by then?
I picked Dead Man's Road from Heartbreak Station.
That's a great song.
Yeah, it's a great bluesy rocker. It showcases what a great singer Tom Kiefer is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great song. If you love blues rock, you got to dig that.
Yeah. To me, that really captured what they were trying to do on that record, which, you know, whether it was the fans' favorite or not, it was a great record because it's really what the band was and, you know, and where they were at that time. And it was a record that they probably had to make two other records to be able to make that kind of a record.
Right.
You know, and it was kind of a little esoteric for the time, I think it was considered, you know, that they went out on that southern bayou kind of...
Although it's aged better than most of the stuff from that time.
Yes, right, yeah, sure.
That's
sure.
The funny irony of it.
Yeah, because it was way more of a rootsy record as opposed to what was happening at that moment, in rock, you know, I also love it. There's two reasons I love the song, aside from what we've already said, which is this guitar tone that he used for his solo.
Phenomenal. I said that, didn't I? Yeah. I said that exact thing.
Love that. When it kicks in, it's like it gives me chills. And just I don't know. It's just a fun. It was just a fun song. When we did it live, it was an amazing vibe, you know, and it's just...
Yeah, that big bass drum kicking in at the beginning. I could just imagine the people, you know, that had to have been great.
Yeah, we were listening to the intro earlier, and like, I could definitely hear how this would be really cool to
huge
hear
in live.
A big crowd.
Well, and the thing that was so amazing at the time, you know, when the Heartbreak Station tour was originally... When it originally went out, the first week of shows on that tour, we carried a big stage and production because they expected to fill arenas, and it was the end of that, you know, the beginning of the end of that era of music.
Right.
And so it was the first time that ticket sales started falling off, and so... Like, by the end of the first week, we lost half the trucks and half the production.
Wow.
But the way the show was conceived and put together with the original set, that was definitely, like, a high point of the show. Because the whole set was done in that bayou swampy vibe, and it was a really amazing backdrop that, even though it stayed there the entire show, the different lightings made it feel like different times of day.
Yeah.
You know, and it really, and I had the moss hanging from the lights.
Oh, wow.
It really had a great smoky, foggy vibe.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And it was a really, and it was fire. We had things, the Cinderella logo was in flames.
Sweet.
It was great.
Wow, they went all out.
Oh, yeah, it was huge. And we had the three background singers.
Yeah.
Well, two background singers and the sax player was there too. And I had the huge keyboard rig, and it was a good tour.
Yeah,
fun tour.
When I was young, a man sent me on a plane. Told me if I had a dream, I could be what I wanna be. My life goes on, a voice echoes in the wind. It's telling me to carry on. Now I know that it's him. He said, whoa, watch out, boy. Don't go messing with your life, cause it ain't no toy. God help you to carry life's load. It could all pass you by down on dead man's road.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Gene Simmons.
Sometimes I wonder why in the hell that itsy bitsy spider kept trying to climb up that damn water spout. Stupid ass spiders. That's why they don't have spaceflight, or tacos, or gymnasiums, or huge books named Monsters.
Want to feed your eyes as well as your ears? Check out Decibel Geek on Instagram. Go to Instagram.com/DecibelGeek and see for yourself.
There you have it. More music from this week's featured artists, Outlaws and Moonshine. That's a track called Hey Y'all. That sounds like, you know, something we can understand down here in Nashville, right?
Southern rock.
Heck yeah. It's also from that uptitled release coming up called 1919. And as I said before, more info on Outlaws and Moonshine can be found in today's show notes or over at highvolmusic.com. That's HIGHVOL music.com.
Yeah, thanks. Do it. To them for signing up for another month on sponsorship, and we're happy to bring more of their great music to you guys.
Heck yeah, man. You know, I was thinking about this because we got some cool stuff going on here at Decibel Geek. You know, we recently went over 3,000 likes on Facebook, which is fantastic. That makes me so proud to think, to remember back when, like, it was you and me liked it, and then, like, a couple members of her family, a couple of our friends, we got to like it, and there was, like, maybe 10. I remember it being, like, 12.
Liked it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, whoa, people are liking this. Here we are, well over 3,000. Yeah. I think we're doing all right for ourselves around here. So, it makes me say to you, if you love the Decibel Geek podcast, you want to help us out, there's a variety of ways to do it. One way, and we don't talk about it enough, get a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Rich the Meister Dylan came over here and brought us some Decibel Geek t-shirts.
They're really cool.
There was a small in there. I gave it to my son. He wore it to school. You know what he did?
What?
Played Aaron Camaro Jr. all day. Hey, you guys like hard rock and classical music?
Oh, boy.
Check out my dad's show. Yeah, he was. I'm proud of him.
Decibel Geek 2.0.
There you go. Yeah, see, we've always said it. When we're ready to retire,
our kids are going to do it.
We're going to be forcing them into it. So they better pay attention. Learn their rock and roll.
Yeah.
Another cool thing we got going on, because there's so many ways to help us, is become a VIP. But that's a great way to even help yourself, because you feel like you love the show, you listen to it every single week, you wish it was longer, you wish there was more of it. Well, here's a way for you to get more of the Decibel Geek podcast. That's become a VIP. Our VIPs that we have right now are freaking loving it. We've did verses for a while, and now we've kind of tweaked that, and it's become the Decibel Geek News.
Yep.
And what you're getting there is either Chris or myself will gather up news stories, just to talk about the headlines and rock and roll, what's going on in the right now. No politics. Well, we could, but we're not going to.
Maybe you hear enough of that on TV.
Who knows? Only if the rock stars are talking about it and it's in the news. Then we'll discuss it, maybe laugh about it a little bit, have a good time with it, and it's the Decibel Geek News. It's a lot of fun. Also, of course, the Chris and Aaron show.
Yep.
Last week, I warned everybody. I warned the VIPs that was going to be a crazy episode of the Chris and Aaron show, and I wasn't lying. And they got to hear it, and they know what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't, but you could become a Decibel Geek VIP. All that and a whole lot more. You want to get the information, go to decibelgeek.com or head on over to patreon.com. They're the ones that hook us up with it all and make it all happen. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and hope you guys will sign up for that, because we have a good time. So let's talk about the Amazon purchases for this week.
While you're at decibelgeek.com, hey, go to our Amazon link. It's right there. Probably the best way to help us out, just to straight up help us, other than hitting the donate button on the website, which nobody does that anymore.
Not really.
Because everybody's doing their shopping through Amazon and helping us out, and that's a great way to do it, because you're helping yourself to all these great products that are out there. You know, anything you want is on Amazon. Anything. It's all there.
Yep.
So you want something, you're going to go there anyway and buy it. So what you do is you head on over to decibelgeek.com first, click on our Amazon link, shoots you over to Amazon. Now you're doing your shopping, you're buying all kinds of Alice Cooper albums, you're picking up the new Outlaws and Moonshine album, you know, all kinds of cool stuff you can get. So when you're done shopping, you check out, you're done. You pay for your items. Now, Amazon, they're cool. They love rock and roll. They love the Decibel Geek podcast. They want to help us out, and they do all the time by taking a little piece of their cut and giving it on to us, because we sent you to them. It's a beautiful circle, see? It's the circle of rock and roll life. It keeps the Decibel Geek podcast alive.
Don't put Elton John in my head, Aaron.
I didn't mean to. That's not where I was going.
Yeah, I know, but dragged to The Lion King 7 times by my girlfriend in high school. Bad memories.
Oh, man.
All right, so yeah, so we get this cool report when you guys buy something telling us what you buy. And a lot of music was bought this week, so I limited it to the music that was purchased. So this is interesting. Cheap Trick, the song Up the Creek with the a cappella intro, was bought.
Huh.
Anthrax, new album For All Kings, 2 copies were purchased through our
Right on.
Last in Line, Heavy Crown, that's really good. Steel Panther Live from Lexi's Mom's Garage was bought.
Is this the acoustic thing? Somebody was telling me about a Steel Panther acoustic album. I got
to
check that out.
I'm a Johnny Come Lately when it comes to Steel Panther. I like what I've heard, but I haven't checked too much out.
I love the song, It Ain't Gonna Suck Itself.
And Community Property is also really great. Dream Theater, The Astonishing, that was bought. Whitesnake, the Purple album, you'll actually hear a little bit of that. And, well, you'll hear about that in this episode, or you may have already. I don't remember. Wolf Mother Victorious was bought.
That's cool. That's a great underrated band right there.
And here we go for Alice Cooper.
See, we're doing our jobs right here. This is the proof. We're doing it. Yes. This right here is why we do what we do.
All right. Zipper Catch a Skin, Muscle of Love, School's Out, Billion Dollar Babies, Da Da, Easy Action, From the Inside, Killer, Love It to Death, Special Forces, and The Alice Cooper Show were purchased.
I'm so proud of that.
Yes.
I mean, not only does it help us out a ton, because that's a lot of music right
it
there
is.
Somebody purchased, but it makes my heart swell a little bit to know we're affecting things out
that's
there,
right.
Man. We're keeping rock and roll alive. That makes me feel good.
I love that y'all support the artists. I mean, you guys make us proud with that, because that's why we do the show.
Because, you know, just like today, all these great bands that Gary's either introducing you to or reintroducing you to, go to Amazon, you know, pick it up. Go to your local music shop, buy it, you know. Get out there and support these artists. When they come to your town, go and see them.
Yes.
And buy it. And go get a Decibel Geek t-shirt when you go.
It's more fun, more fun to hold it in your hands. And that is what she said.
So,
all right,
that.
Well, let's get back to it with Gary.
All right, so we've got one more song picked to go. And this one surprised me. I'm curious as to why you picked this one.
Well, because I kind of feel like your audience is probably Skid Row people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You'd be absolutely right about that.
And once again, Monkey Business being like a record that came at a time. That was right near that album, right?
Well, Slave to the Grind.
Slave to the Grind, yeah. That's right. Monkey Business was the first track.
First single.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that record, to me, I don't think it was as successful as it probably should have been.
Well, it debuted well. I don't think it eventually sold as much as the debut did.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it hit the charts real well, but it was considered heavier than what their fans were used to.
Right, because that was one, man, I remember waiting in line the day it came out to be there to buy it, you know, on that day. And I know I wasn't the only one there picking it up.
Yeah,
it
was pretty good. That was a killer record. That's my favorite record by them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
me too.
This song, I'm sure, even if there were songs from the record that were played on radio.
This one was not.
This was not that one at all because of the lyrically. And
it's great logic, man.
Yeah. So that's kind of why I picked it, and it just also because I always loved it. Like when it takes me back to when we toured together a lot at that time because it was Cinderella, and we were I remember we did Japan together on New Year's Eve of 91 into 92, I think it was. We played the Tokyo Dome together with Bon Jovi.
Wow.
And it was just such an amazing trip. To be over in Japan with the three bands and just, you know, by luck, in the same hotel, Mr. Big happened to be there at the time.
No kidding.
Faith No More.
Wow.
And there was one other band, all in the same hotel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
For like a week we were there.
That must have been fun.
Yeah.
That was the place to be.
That's a whole nother show.
VIP.
Well, and it was a really strange, the way the hotel was laid out, it was kind of a circular thing around this pool, but it was a tall building, so you could see across, like, you know, if you were on the third floor, you could be at the bar and then look all the way across the building mm-hmm. to what was going on the other side.
Right. So you'd be yelling at people up there, or down there, or over there.
Yeah, except it was enclosed in glass. So it was enclosed in glass. But what was happening was that we'd be by the bar, and you'd see clusters of people all around on all these different floors with cameras.
You know, yeah, pictures of everybody.
Yeah, and they were kind of spying, and they had like 360 view to, you know, to watch stuff.
Right.
And it was so much craziness going on.
True rock and roll excess.
Yeah, Sebastian came down and dropped his drawers. He's standing there with this Japanese businessman and his wife, mm-hmm. and his arms around him, they're taking a picture, and as they go 1, 2, 3, he drops his drawers.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey man, check out the rig. Yeah, he's swinging his dick around. And all of a sudden you see flash bulbs.
Oh jeez.
You know, it's like
so in Japan, somebody's got a handful of photos of his dick.
Wow.
You know, that kind of stuff going on at the hotel. Yeah. It was past, you know, it was jet lag after a 14-hour flight and
yeah.
too much liquor. And, yeah, it was definitely, but it was such a great week.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. And, you know, so that's kind of why I picked it. And to me, that the song actually really kind of, really captures
the whole vibe.
The vibe and the energy of that band to me.
And the song is?
The song is Get the Fuck Out.
All right.
Awesome, great picks. So you were talking to us earlier about you were going to write a book, huh? Thinking about it.
It's, you know, it's one of those things that has been, you know, I've talked to people about it throughout the years, and it's something I always shied away from. And, you know, and it's in no way, shape, or form going to be like a tell-all or, you know, dirt on people. It isn't any part of the reason to write a book, and I never wanted to be something like that. But in today's day and age, with technology being what it is, and it's gotten a lot easier to do. And And so the idea came up again, and I'm going to take a shot at it and see where it goes. You know, I don't have to, if I change my mind halfway through, I'll scrap the idea. But right now it's looking like I'm going to take on the challenge.
Right on. So that's cool. So the thing is, if anybody out there has pictures from back in the day or video or stuff that Gary was doing or even stories at times that you met him, or heck, you can help refresh his memory. How do you get that set up?
Yeah, well, you know what? If there's anything that anybody out there wants to know, or a story they want to refresh my memory about or something, you could write to me or email me at GaryCorbettBook@gmail.com.
Very cool.
And it's Corbett, C-O-R-B-E-T-T.
And I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode, and that awesome. People can do it directly.
Because everybody knows Gary Corbett's got all the cool stories.
Especially if you listen to this show.
Yeah, today, you know, he helped, he shared some rock and roll wisdom with us. You know, picked some great songs. This was awesome.
Well, I hope people go back and listen to some of these records and like them. That's, you know, I hope they get the same feeling from them that I did.
That's what it's all about. We're all about trying to turn people onto stuff they may not have noticed the first time, and we're happy to have you over to do it.
Oh, great.
This is what six songs is supposed to be all about.
Oh, man. I come back with another six.
Heck yeah. Six more songs, Gary Corbett.
Six more songs. I love back.
It. Yeah, I think it's even harder to narrow it down to six. But yeah, it's a good little sampler of what stuff that's made a difference in your life and helped you get where you are now.
Yeah, there's a couple I felt like I left off because, you know, Jimi Hendrix was definitely in the running to, you know, have something, but I just figured anything I would have picked would probably not be considered that uncommon.
Okay.
So I kind of went away from it, because the IU Experience record would have been the record I would have gone to.
That's a great record.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to give away my next.
No. We'll save those for the next time. When the book comes out, you'll have to come back and do it again.
Yes, sure.
And again, it's GaryCorbettBook@gmail.com.
Thank you.
No problem.
Absolutely.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.